Good Friday morning, everyone. My name is Will Harris, and I'm a member at Oakland Church of Christ here in Athens. I appreciate you all taking the time to join me this morning as you start your day off. This week, we're talking about biblical self-instruction. If you missed my explanation on Monday, the idea for this series came from a letter from a preacher in Africa in which he said that he had been spending time in self-construction with the Word of God, as he said it. I thought that was a really interesting phrase that I hadn't really heard before, at least not in those words. So we started on Monday by talking about the need for demolition. In any construction project, the first step is to clear the building site of what was there to make room for what is to be built. And the same holds true when we're talking about biblical self-construction. We all have things in our lives that are in the way of the self-construction that we're working towards. And these are things like anger, malice, sexual immorality, bad language, lying, etc. And we have to get rid of these things in order to become what God would have us to be. Then on Tuesday, we started talking about the construction process by talking about what we are to be building. We read in 1 Peter 2 that we are to be living stones that are being built into a spiritual house, that is the church, with Christ as the chief cornerstone. We also read that as individuals, we are a temple to the Holy Spirit within us. And as such, there are things that we should keep ourselves from, such as the things we talked about on Monday. On Wednesday, we got practical and started talking about what this self-construction should actually look like in our day-to-day lives. We read 2 Peter 1, 5-9 and talked about the importance of diligence, faith, and virtue, or goodness. And yesterday, we continued in 2 Peter 1 by talking about knowledge, self-control, and perseverance. Now, today we're going to finish out the week by discussing the last three things that Peter says to add to, as he says it in 2 Peter 1, verses 5-9. So let's go ahead and read that again now. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So today we're going to pick up with godliness. And this is perhaps one of the more difficult items in the list to grasp, because when we first read this, it might seem that Peter is saying that we should be godlike. After all, the word almost sounds like godlikeness. But when you really look at the word that's used here, that really isn't what it's saying. The word that's translated here as godliness really means to have a deep and profound respect or reverence towards God. It's more than just an attitude, though. When you look at other passages where the word is used, we see the idea of respect for God that prompts action in our lives. Godliness is the idea of living pure and righteous before God and man because of who God is. Next, Peter says to add to your godliness brotherly kindness, and this one can be deceptively difficult. Compared to some of the things we've already discussed, it may not seem that hard, but up until now, most of the characteristics have involved just us and our relationship towards God. Now, we have control over what we do as individuals, and God is absolutely righteous, so it's easy to at least understand the kind of respect and love that he is due. But when other people are involved, that changes things. We don't have control over what they do, and they're certainly not perfect, so having the kind of love that we should for our brothers can be challenging. When we become frustrated with brethren, though, we need to remember that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that includes us. Second, we need to remember that we cannot truly love God if we don't love our brethren. 1 John 4:20 says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." And finally, let's remember that as part of that perseverance we talked about yesterday is patience with each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all." Finally, the last thing Peter says for us to add to is love. Now, we've already alluded to this some, but if we have all the previous qualities but don't have love, we failed. Paul said it better than I can in 1 Corinthians 13 when he said, "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Biblical, serving, self-sacrificing love towards God and each other is what holds together this whole thing that we've been building this week. I thank you for joining me this morning as we've talked about this self-construction with the Word of God. I hope that this has been helpful for you, and I know that it has been for me at least. Thanks for listening, and y'all have a great weekend.